Hi, thanks for tuning in. This is Tom Robbins and talking with Shane Simmons today on grief and how I am dealing with it. Today we're talking about losing my little brother on April 5th, 2019, and some of the things that went along with it. So I started to record the podcast yesterday. I recorded a segment and I really wasn't sure where to go with it. So I just talked, and I talked for like 12 minutes and I thought I saved it, but it was gone. When I looked for it this morning, because I was going to piece it all
So
together.
it's not in the app at all.
Now, so what I think is I didn't save it. I think I discarded it or something. So basically, I was just talking about, I kind of gave a brief description of the whole rundown, right after Pat died, up until like today, like what I did. But when I look back on it, I think I went through it too fast,
What do you mean?
How do you talk about, what's it, 9 months of grief in 12 minutes?
I mean, who says you have to condense it down to 12 minutes? Who says you have to talk about every part of it in 12 minutes?
No, that's
I mean,
it.
just like,
Well, that's it. But that's like what I did yesterday. So I was not happy with it. So I think I may have subconsciously deleted it or not saved it, thinking,
it's not good enough, so
My conscious decision was to save it and go back and take pieces of it out and see what I could do, and it just wasn't what it was all cut out to be.
No, I mean, even if something isn't, even if it doesn't turn out how you envisioned it, that doesn't mean that it's not worthwhile.
Correct,
Because
right.
you, I mean, you can always try again for the thing that you had in mind, but you still have a thing that you've created,
Something.
and someone might find value in it.
Something better than nothing. Make a move so you're at least moving and
Absolutely.
not staying still.
Like any step forward is a step in the right direction.
So, I don't know. I guess, back to our earlier conversation. My Uncle Don, like I feel kind of bad because I had a lot of anger towards him, and I don't think it was towards him particularly. I think that anger was just angry with Pat, like committing suicide and not reaching out to me. Maybe the anger was with me and not being able to see it enough and do something, to make that change. And I really projected that onto my Uncle Don, when at the end of the day, he was just hurt, hurt that he lost a nephew and that my mom lost a son and that, his daughter's lost a cousin and all that stuff. And I did not give that any value. I didn't give his pain any value, and that was not, for me, I don't feel that was the right thing to do. I mean, he doesn't know that. He doesn't know that I was like, by any means. Sorry, Uncle Don, if you hear this. So I think that's, a lot of it is just kind of coming to terms with my own feelings.
Yeah, well, it's never easy.
No. How was that for you to deal with through like this whole,
What do you mean?
like, I don't know, how was I pre like Pat's death versus post Pat's death?
Well, I mean, after he died, there were a lot of times that you definitely seemed kind of lost. Like, kind of, you seemed like you were on autopilot.
Yep.
Like, he'd say something to you and you would respond, but you weren't really in it.
Yep.
Like, you definitely, I mean, and for good reason, you had something else on your mind. Like, yeah. That's more fucking important. Like, we totally understood. I totally understood. Like, you had some shit going on. But, yeah, we figured we would, you were just working your way through stuff.
Yeah, I did. I mean, obviously, I'm still working through it.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you ever really, quote unquote, get over someone?
No, and I think that's a
passing away. I mean, you just learn how to deal with it.
I think that's exactly it, right? Like, you don't, you know, people say you got to get over it. You know, and for me, I cannot honestly remember a point that I ever heard that. You know, like, oh, you just need to get over it. Like, no one ever said that to me.
Yeah.
Luckily, you know, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I think even when people do say things like that, I don't think they're trying to downplay the importance of it. It just...
They want you to get up and move forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get past the point where it's, I guess, detrimental to you. To yeah. your functioning in society and in your own life.
Oh, yeah, because I can tell you, Jen told me one day, I had spent like 3 weeks on my couch, and I, you know, I didn't do anything. You know, I'd go to bed, I'd come out, I'd lay on the couch, you know, and that was my routine. I say 3 weeks, it was maybe a week or two, I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't even know, it was kind of a blur.
Yeah, that happens.
And she kicked me in my ass. She was like, listen, you're not going to lay there and just die and give up. And I don't remember exactly what she said, but it was, you know, basically like a get off your ass. You're coming out of the house today. We're going to the park. We're doing this. And I did it. And, you know, we went and had fun. And I think, you know, that kind of helped me, you know, push past where I was at that time.
Yeah.
Because I think that was the end of June. So, it was, I don't know, 2.5-ish months, maybe 3 months
mm-hmm.
after he had passed for me to be at that point. And, you know, luckily Jen kicked me in the ass. You know, and said, hey, listen, she didn't want to see me, you know, fall into this debilitating depression.
Yeah.
You know, a little lucky there.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, if it gets to a point where it's just totally derailing your life, like, if it's fucking up your goals and your aspirations and what you're taking, like, the steps that you're taking forward in your life to take care of that, I mean... It may sound like a weird question, but, like, at that point, what do you think your brother would have said to you if he saw you just, like, not doing anything over that? Would he have kicked you in the ass and said, dude, get your fucking shit together?
No, I don't think he would have. I don't know. You know, like, and I say that, I guess it depends on what time in his life, you know, because I know, right... Towards the end, you know, towards the time he killed himself, it was, he started spending a lot of time laying around.
Really?
Yeah, and I, you know, I guess I recognized it for a second. He and I had a conversation one day.
But even if you recognize it, where's that line of... Like, when it's appropriate to step in and say something to somebody.
Well, I said something to him.
Did you?
Yeah. Like, he was...
So you always have a hard time kind of determining. It's like, okay, I care about this person, and I can see seem like warning signs, but, like, is it my place to step in and say, like, hey, so what the fuck is this about?
I think that's where the QPR training is going to come in.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we really need to get with Pete Foundation and get that training set up at Lodge so we can go through it, so we can have those conversations and have the tough and fierce conversations with folks without being timid and, am I overcrossing a line? Because
yeah.
I think that if I would have, I mean, I don't know, because I've not been through the training, but I think that there's a possibility where things would be different had I done that training prior to, right? And I'm not saying...
I mean, everybody always has that reaction. Like, it's that whole survivor's guilt thing.
Hold on. This is not me feeling guilty.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just saying, like, maybe this is a piece that would have helped here.
Yeah.
I don't know. But where I'm at now, I'd like to have this piece with me. So if something happens in the future, I know how to handle it.
Yeah, you're well, as prepared as anyone can be.
Right.
I mean, if somebody makes the decision to do something like that, to harm themselves, one, they're probably not going to tell anybody about it if they're serious.
Right.
And they're going to make sure that it happens. Like, if they want it to happen, it's going to happen.
That's exactly it.
Like, and
I think a lot of people don't realize that. You know, I felt guilty. I still feel a little guilty, right, with Pat, because there are things that I'm like, man, I wish I would have known that.
Yeah.
You know, or I saw that. Why didn't I react differently? Well, I didn't because I didn't really know.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can't hold that against yourself.
I still do a little bit, right? It's not debilitating. You know, and then, I don't know. It's just, I think a lot of it is moving forward and understanding that what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We can't go back and change that. But we recognize now some of the signs that or some of the flags that appeared then. So couple this knowledge with the QPR training makes us, you know, better equipped to handle that situation in the future.
True. I mean, in general, the past is a shitty place to try to live. But, I mean, basically the only thing it's good for is informing your choices moving forward.
That's it. I mean, that's really it. Yeah. You know, and even... Even now, I wonder, this is going to sound really bad. Not really bad. It's going to sound weird. You know, I wonder, though, is it easier to lose someone through an illness or something that you can see coming versus something that came out of left field? Like,
yeah, something that's sudden,
like suicide or a heart attack, an
accident, yeah,
right. Like,
with one, you have the time to sort of like psychologically prepare yourself and go over, like, okay, this is happening, I need to kind of face this, as opposed to just having it thrust upon you and say, okay, this is the way this is now, deal with it.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Abrupt.
It is, you know, the day that I got the phone call about Pat, I can tell you that phone call. Like, I can't tell you verbatim. I can tell you part of that phone call. I know the gist of that phone call. Most of it, the person talking to me was a blubbering mess. Just crying. And I understand. Like, Glada, who is kind of a relation to my family,
mm-hmm.
Helped Pat take care of PJ, and she spent a lot of time at Pat's house. And she went to his house just to go check on him, see, you know, how he's doing, what's going on. And she went over there, And she went in the house, and Kane, Pat's dog, was running through the house wild. And if Pat's not in the house, Kane's not in the house running wild. Like, mm-hmm. he just didn't do that. So yeah. she felt that was weird. When she comes in through the mudroom, into the kitchen. Kitchen table's right on the right. She walked right past the kitchen table where there are three suicide notes laid out with his stuff. She didn't see the notes. She just walked through the house looking for them.
Yeah, because you don't expect to see suicide notes walking into your...
Right.
Yeah.
And she came back. This I got way after the fact. And she came back through and she found the notes. Mm-hmm. She read her note and it told her where to find him. So she went out in the garage and found him. The first call she made, I think, was to 911. The second call she made was to my mom. Mm-hmm. My mom did not answer, thank God.
Yeah.
Third call was to me. And I was doing Uber and Lyft. And I'm going to tell you, an hour and a half before I got this call, I was at my office walking down the stairs and I twisted my ankle. And I twisted my ankle bad.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't walk on my damn ankle. So I'm doing, I don't remember, Uber or Lyft or something. And we were coming down Frankfurt, I think. Mm-hmm. I was taking him to whoever I had. It was a group of like four people were cutting up, having a good time. You know, these guys are telling their stories on how they're going to pick up all these women tonight or whatever.
Yeah.
And I saw Pat calling and I was like, oh, I'll just tell him, hey, I got a ride. I'm going to call you back in a minute. Mm-hmm. And I answered it and I said, hey, bud, listen, I got a ride. I got to call you back in a minute. And I hear, no, 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 no. And I'm like, what the hell? You know, like, that's not Pat. You know, that's a female's voice. And I knew who it was, but I, you know, I'm like, okay, what's going on? Mm-hmm. She started telling me kind of what happened. And I'm telling you, she's like crying and she can't make heads or tails. You know, like I'm having a real hard time deciphering what she says. And she said, and I found him. I said, who did you find? She said, Pat. I said, where is he? She said, he's in the garage. I said, okay, rewind. Hold on. What happened? She said he was in an accident. Well, she didn't tell me that. That came after the fact. She's like, I came in the house looking for him. Couldn't find him. Saw these notes on the table. It told me where to find him. I went in the garage and there he was. And I didn't know how. I didn't know why. So I started, I said, okay. I said, is he... You know, she said, he's gone. I said, oh, shit. And everyone in the car was like, I said, okay, let me call you back. And I got off the phone. And they're like, everyone in the car is like, hey, just let us out. We're sorry. Or they're like, hey, what was that? I said, that was my little brother's dead. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. You can just let us out here. We'll get another Uber. I said, no, it's totally fine. Like, I'm going by where I'm supposed to drop you guys off anyway. I'll just drop you off. Just excuse me for these last couple of minutes because, you know, they're like, we get it. I drop them off. I start making phone calls. I call Jen. I tell her. I call Sam. And I said, Sam, I remember this. I said, Sam, listen, I got some bad news. I said, hey, what's up? Or he goes, hey, what's up? I said, hey, dude, I got some bad news about Pat. He goes, oh, I know, man. I know. He told me when it happened. I said, what are you talking about? He said, oh, he was in an accident last night. Isn't that what you're talking about? I said, no, dude, he's dead. He said, what? And like, I could hear him start to cry. And his wife, you know, same thing. He said, dude, tell me what happened. He said he was pulling out of a parking lot and someone clipped him and he freaked out and he ran. Hmm. So I said, okay. I said, do you have time right now to go by his house and tell me what's going on over there? Because I have no idea. He said, okay. So he went over there and did what he could. And he called me and was like, dude, like, he's gone. Okay. Just really weird. Have to call your best friend and say, dude, I need you to go check for real.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's going on. I'm not there.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I told Jen, I was like, she's like, we're getting our nails done. I'm not going to tell Bailey. I said, okay. So I drive home and I'm telling you, I'm fucking crying my eyes out the whole time.
Understandably.
And I pull up in the driveway and I saw Bailey crying. And I thought, oh shit, she knows, you know, like, how am I going to keep that my brother died, you know, from my fucking daughter? And she, craziest thing, she became a woman on that day. Which was like, what? So I sit down in my living room, I'm making some calls, trying to get my business in order. Like, my plan was to spend Friday night getting all my business in order so we could leave Saturday morning, mm-hmm. drive up, do everything we needed to do, and I didn't have to worry about any of my business. And luckily, you know, I had some great agents take care of my stuff for me.
Yeah.
Without question. Just like, all right, we're there. We got you.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to leave the house, you know, Friday night. Like, I'm just here. Let me do this, do my thing. And Jen just starts grabbing clothes and throwing them in my car and loads my car up with shit that she loaded it up with my whole damn closet, dude. I didn't need my whole closet, which it was
she
just...
didn't know?
It was funny because when I say she loaded it up with my closet, she went to my closet, she grabbed an armful of clothes, walked out of the car and just threw it in there, you know? Yeah.
Do it as efficiently as possible. Like, look, you need to take care of this shit. Like, you might not want to do it right now, but seriously, it needs to be done. Go.
Well, I know, but there was nothing I could do Friday night anyway. And I was in no shape to drive.
Fair.
So I was like, I'm not. She's like, I'll drive. So she drove, and I'll tell you, the whole time, all I did was cry. I cried the whole ride up there.
Yeah.
And all I kept thinking was, please wake up from this nightmare. And that entire weekend, up until I had to tell my nephew, I felt like I was going to wake up mm-hmm. and everything was going to be normal.
It just feels wrong. Like, it's fucking surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So weird.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking weird. Mm.